Hey y'all, welcome to Gather Together, and I'm your host, Katie King. Thank you so much for joining in today as we listen in on a story that will hopefully speak in someone's life. Let's listen in on episode number 8. Okay, so I'm here with Lana Moon, and we've known each other, I feel like, since we were kids.
Yeah.
So. But just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, currently, I am in nursing school, which is very busy.
Yeah.
I also work at UAB in the PACU, helping people, recover people from surgery.
Yeah. And
this summer, I teach swim lessons, so I'm, like, super busy.
Yeah, definitely.
I have 2 siblings, mom and dad, great, still live at home. and also I date this wonderful man named Alex Cook. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So how long have y'all been dating?
So we have been dating like 2.5 years, I feel like. Okay. We started dating like the day Donald Trump got inaugurated into the office, and so that's kind of how we can keep up with it.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
So what have those 2.5 years looked like? Like, take me to the beginning of your relationship and just walk me through it.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny because our dating relationship was, I don't know, like, I was so not ready wanting to date at the time, and he was just so faithful in pursuing me, even though I was, like, a turd to him. And I was so a turd to him. He would, like, show up to my house with flowers and candy, and I would just like literally just say, I'd take the flowers and the candy and say, thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah, right.
And, like, close the door. And so I don't know, I was just at a place in my life where I just wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
And then one day, all of a sudden, I just was like, okay, we'll try this. And so I finally agreed to go out with him, and we started dating, and it was like, I don't know, I can't explain it. It was like a switch flipped, and he was like my best friend.
Aww.
And I couldn't imagine my life without him. And then for those who don't know, about 8 months into that relationship, he was diagnosed with T-cell ALL leukemia, which was, we were devastated and just kind of didn't know how to process that. So we've been walking through that journey, and I mean, it's cancer, so it's not a walk in a park. And the last 2 years have been a journey in the wilderness for us, and it's been crazy. There's been a lot of tears, a lot of hurt, but at the same time, there's also been a lot of joy and a lot of miracles, and so it's just been a journey.
Yeah,
I'm thankful for it. It's been hard, but I'm very thankful for it, too.
Yeah, definitely. That's, So, I mean, 8 months in, I feel like you are just getting to know each other, and then, like, here we go. And so what was the biggest challenge for you when y'all found out?
Well, everybody who, like, hears our story asks him and our family those questions.
Yeah.
And I just, it's so hard to answer that question because so much has happened.
Right.
But at the same time, too, I feel like that, when he was getting diagnosed, it wasn't like it all happened in one day. It was like this, a lymph node had swollen up in his neck. And so then we had like several doctor's appointments. And at first they were just like, it's just a cold, whatever. And so we actually had went to the beach, and he was on an antibiotic when we were at the beach. And then we came back, and it had not changed. So they were like, okay, let's take a scan of it. And so then his primary doctor was like, okay, well, we're just going to send it to this doctor for them to get it to look at it. And then that doctor sent us to another doctor, and then that doctor sent us to another doctor who finally, like, decided to have the surgery to take it out.
Yeah.
And then after his surgery, we still had to wait, I think it was, like, 2 more weeks to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he got sick, we found out that day. It was, like, a week, several-week process that we had to endure. And so during that week, I'll never forget it, we were all just really praying and believing and doing all of those things that the Bible tells us, the Word tells you to do when you're, like, you're declaring, you're speaking life, you're praying, you're seeking the Lord, and you're asking, like, the Lord, please don't let this be cancer.
Yeah.
And so, when we finally went back for those results, we still didn't have answers the day that we found out it was cancer. We didn't know what type, we didn't know what kind. Mm-hmm. They had said at the doctor's office that there were cancer cells, and they were thinking it was non-Hodgkin's.
Oh, wow.
And so they sent us to an oncologist, who after that sent us to another oncologist, because that sounds like a big old defeat, but at the same time, like, we look back and we see how the Lord had His hand, and even in that, getting us to the right doctors.
Oh, definitely.
And putting us in the right places. And so, then, the morning that we went to go see that oncologist, we had went up for a scan. They had taken labs, and then we went up for a scan. Well, mm-hmm. in the waiting time of us getting him to go back for his scan, they had called back upstairs and told us to come downstairs.
Oh, God.
Because his blood work that morning had showed, that it was leukemia.
Yeah.
And so, from there, that day, it was like, I want to say maybe a month after, it was like a month of that whole game of waiting and not having answers.
Yeah.
So, that day was the actual day that we had gotten a narrowed down
for sure,
diagnosis.
Wow.
And there was a moment that me and his mom had kind of shared, that after we had been diagnosed and he was getting admitted to go upstairs, and mm-hmm. Her and I both were literally, like, just in the floor of a exam room, and children's mm-hmm. just broken. And I remember telling her, I just remember crying, and I just kept saying, I can't do this.
Oh, wow.
And she just, even in her, moment of, brokenness as a parent, she just got handed that same diagnosis. And so she was experiencing her own kind of emotions. And then she just so gracefully came over, and she just took my hand, and she was like, we can't do this. We have to do this.
Yeah.
And so about a few minutes later, we got ourselves together. He had already been up in his room by that point. And I just remember, for hours, children's have these little end cap seats on their floor so you can go sit, a family waiting area. And mm-hmm. I remember I went out there for hours and sat out there on my hands and, just in one spot. Because I knew that if I went in there, I would just fall apart. I didn't want Alex to see me so upset and so broken. But at the same time, I needed that time to,
definitely.
Try and digest what just happened.
Yeah.
Really, press into the Lord, because I knew that there were, I was going to have to draw strength from somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
And so that was just, I'll never forget that day. I remember, it seems like I sat there for 15 minutes, but I had sat there for, hours. His stepdad kept coming out there checking on me. And it was, I'll never forget that day. It was crazy.
Wow. That's, I cannot imagine. I mean, just knowing, like you said, I can't do it. I would feel the same way, but, you have to. We have to. There's no other way around it.
Right.
That's so hard. You said you just went out and sat and everything. So, was your first thought, I have to cling to Jesus? I have literally no other option. Or were you just kind of, numb to it? I mean, I don't know,
That first day, I feel like we were all pretty numb.
Yeah.
I feel like we were all, devastated and numb and didn't know what to think, because for weeks we had been praying for this not to be that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For weeks we had been crying out, Lord, please don't let this be cancer.
Yeah.
And so when we went into that office and that happened, we were just I feel like all in disbelief and numb. But at the same time, as weeks progressed and time went on, we all, for me, I know, I don't have this moment of not leaning into the Lord, because for me there was no other option. Where do you go? And our family throughout this whole journey has said, how do people go through life or go through these kinds of things and not have the Lord? Because He has sustained all of us through this whole process.
Right.
And so I feel like even that day that we were all leaning on the Lord. Now, are there times where like we feel faithless and when we're defeated and we don't feel like this big old super Christian? Yes. But at the same time too, like for me anyways, like the Lord was all I knew where to go to, you know, so.
Yeah, definitely. So how long was, like, it happened when y'all were dating for 8 months. So, like, how long was this journey? I mean, until, like, because now he's, like, clear and free, right?
Yeah, so the cancer is complicated no matter what kind you have. But for him, with leukemia, it's a little different than most cancer treatments. And for guys and girls, treatment is different. So for guys, treatment's actually longer than it is for girls. And he was put in remission a month after he was diagnosed. However, you have like 8 months of a chemo cycles that you go through that's pretty harsh and intense. And after that 8 months, you go through maintenance phase, which is, I think it's 3 years for guys and 2 years for
Oh,
girls,
wow.
which is just like, you know, you take chemo a week out of the month and you go to clinic a couple times out of the month for port chemo and labs checked and all of that. And so, when he had finished his 8 months of harsh chemo, he got very, very sick and got put in the hospital for, I think it was like 128-ish, 130-ish days, and put on a ventilator twice in the ICU several times. Just, it was very scary, very horrible. I mean, at one point, doctors told us it was hour by hour, and there was kind of nothing else they could do. So, but then the Lord performed a miracle in him, and he came home in September of last year and has just been recovering from that and doing better and trying to finish that maintenance chemo. And so,
Wow, that's awesome. I definitely couldn't imagine, like, you know, we all have our stories, and I feel like people will look at my story and be like, wow, I could not go through that. And then I look at, you know, what you've been through, I'm like, I could not go through that. And it's just like, we know we can when we depend on God, and, you know, He's our only place to run. But it's like, just sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I feel like I would just be laying on the floor, like, I'm done.
right.
I mean, it's just so hard to think about going through.
And I feel like so many people have said that to us and to him, and like but people also don't see those times where we are weak. You see what I'm saying? Like people see what social media paints, and people see like in their minds, like how they think what's really going on, but they really don't see those broken moments. And we all, every single one of us, have our moments where they're that way. And I feel like too, you look at my story and you're like, I don't feel like I could ever go through that. I was the same way when, like, I saw other people going through stuff. I have many friends right now who are going through some of the similar situations that we went to, but at the same time, like, you don't know what you're gonna how you're gonna react to a situation until you're in a
Yes,
situation.
definitely.
And that's just life. And there's grace. There's so much grace in being able to walk through life. And when you get handed stuff like being cancer, or miscarriages, or other kinds of sickness, or you know, whatever, your house being taken away, like whatever your story is, whatever's happening in your life, like nobody wakes up and says, "Oh, I'm gonna get cancer diagnosed today, and then I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna react this, and this way." And so there's just grace found in the process and there to walk things out. And like I feel like I've done the same thing. I've looked at people and I'm like, I just don't know how those people walk through it. But everybody's story's different, and the Lord gives everybody different kind of strength to get through certain situations.
Definitely. So, how has your relationship with Jesus grown since you literally, like, had only him to rely on? So I know there's, like, even though it was a hard situation, there's so much fruit from that. So, like, how has your relationship changed or different? I feel like for me, when I went through it, me and Colby went through it, it's like, it was a different relationship. Like, it was stronger, and it just was, like, more intimate. And so how was that with you?
Yeah, there's been so much. There's been so much. I think, like, the biggest thing that changed for me in my relationship with the Lord, not a bad change, a good change, was there were times, especially last summer when Alex was, like, very sick. Mm-hmm. I was very not understanding. Like, mm-hmm. I was so upset. I was already upset. I mean, like, we're 19, 20 years old. Yeah. Who wants to be going through what we're going through?
Definitely.
Like, and my heart was just aching for normalcy. Like, I wanted to be a normal 19, 21 year old. I wanted to be able to go, I wanted to be in college. I wanted him to be in college. I wanted us to go do, you know, what you do at this age. And I didn't understand why. And I didn't understand why, like, I had been praying for certain things all summer, and why the Lord wasn't healing Alex, or why it wasn't, basically, why wasn't the Lord doing it the way that I wanted him to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly, right.
And I'll never forget, there was one night that Alex was being put back on a ventilator for the second time, and I was exhausted. I had been at work, I had school work. I was in school, too, through and all of this.
Wow.
And I had missed my parents because I had hardly seen them.
Yeah.
We were planning to go eat dinner, and I was going to go home, do homework, and get some rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped by the hospital, and for some reason, I had just not had a peace about leaving the hospital that day. And so I yielded to that, and I stayed.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Alex was not breathing the way he should have been, and they ended up talking about putting him back on a ventilator. And I'll never forget, me and Alex's mom that night prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Like, I have never, I've been in church my whole life, and I've been in a lot of prayer services. I've prayed a lot of prayers, but I have never prayed that way before with somebody. It was like, I literally bared my soul to the Lord, begging him not for us to take 10 steps back, and begging him for him to intervene and do what only he could do. And I mean, we prayed until, like, the wee hours of the morning, and I finally left and went home. And by the time I had got home, taken a shower, laid down for a few minutes, they had called or then texted and let me know that they were going to put him back on. And when that happened, it was just, like, the biggest blow to me spiritually. Like, I was devastated again, all over again. And so I just felt like I had been pouring my heart out in that type of prayer and laying everything there, and then for him not to do what I wanted him to do, was asking him to do. And, you know, because I had picked up that burden with Jill, and then here he is not answering or doing anything again after months of this happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just felt completely devastated all over again, and I just was so hurt by the Lord.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, I was...
Yeah, definitely.
And then, as, like, the weeks progress and Alex starts getting better, like, I started feeling guilty for my faith in the Lord failing. Does that make sense? Like, because at the end of the day, that was what was happening in me. Like, my faith, like, I was failing. Like, my faith was failing. And I'm not saying that you have to be this perfect, have it all together, because I'm not. And I feel like the Lord knows that. And so I started to unpack that, and I just started to feel guilty because of my faith failing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was this invincible person who just was going to be perfect all the time.
Yeah.
I'm a 2 on the Enneagram, and so, like, I'm a really, like, hard on myself person. And when I don't have control over situations, it, like, makes me feel out of control.
Right.
And that was one of those cases where I couldn't control anything, and I was having to rely on somebody who I knew did. And then when he wasn't fixing it the way I needed him to, it was just, I don't know, just, I felt as a, like, a failure as a person, because I had been so, I had let myself get hurt by the Lord.
Yeah.
And he just started walking me through that and started teaching me, like, I'm your father, but I'm also your friend, and I'm here. And so I started learning about the Lord from a friendship perspective.
Yeah, that's good.
And then I started to learn about, like, how he's not falling off of his throne because I've, like, messed up, or because my faith has failed, or because I think he should do it one way or another. Like, he's still God, and he knew I was going to have that reaction. And he knows I'm human, and he's not, like, falling off of his throne because I'm doing those things. And I started praying through some of those things and also learned, like, he's a good dad, too. Yeah. And so, like any dad or any good friend, we can go and beat our fists on his chest and ask why and be okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, there is a line that you don't want to, like, step over. But at the same time, like, it's okay to go sit down in his lap and just say, you know, like, I just don't understand why this is happening. Mm-hmm. And I need you to try and explain it to me. Yeah. Or I need you to show it to me or help me have peace to continue to walk through it.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And then another thing that I sort of learned that changed my prayer life was, you know, like, those times, like, I was praying from the part of, like, the heart, my heart that I wanted. I started to unpack all of that and started to, like, just understand I can go be broken and I can go, like, not have whole faith and it be enough and him take that and still use it. And that just started to strengthen me and the word too. Like, the word is just was filling a lot of places in my heart.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just learned surrender totally different. And I learned to talk to God a little different too. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I learned to not just make my prayer life about what I think it should be or how I think it should go. But I started, my prayer life changed because I started to understand that, like, it's about God and his will for all of us and all of our lives. And I've got to stop trying to take the control and I have to let him take over. And that is so hard for somebody who's like me because, like, there is security for me in control. But at the end of the day, like, I can't control everything. I can't fix everything either.
Yeah.
And so I learned to stop praying from that perspective of trying to be in control and fix things and start praying and talking and growing from the perspective of, like, I have to yield to whatever you want, Lord, and I'm going to. And that in itself is strength.
Right.
And taught me that there's strength and faith there.
Yes,
so.
Yes, for sure. I know, like, one of the scariest things to pray is for his will, you know, because you don't know
what that looks like.
Yeah, most of the time it's not going to look like how we want it to, but he always has, obviously, our best interest in mind. So it's definitely shows faith when you do pray, God, whatever your will.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes I'll just, if something's going on, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but you got it. That's all I got today, you know? And it's just like,
and that's enough for him.
Yes,
like,
yes.
It isn't, like, there's no, as far as I know, there's nowhere in the Bible that's like, okay, we have to be these macho people with this big faith. Like, in fact, the Lord says, like, all that is required is faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, like, it's tiny, tiny, tiny. And, like, there are days during this journey where all of us, that's all we have to give.
Yes, yes.
But even that, he takes and uses it. And and sows it somewhere.
Yes, definitely.
And so this is just amazing to me because there's so much grace. And so he's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I know you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but, like, obviously we're all human. We all go through these things, but, like, are there times now where, like, it's still hard, you still try to do it on your own instead of, like, because I know for myself, like, I go through this big, you know, I would say, I guess you would say journey, and on those times, it's easy to cling to him, and it's easy when we're in need and when we're helpless. But, like, now when you're just going through even small things, is it sometimes it's kind of like, oh, wait, let me stop trying to do this on my own?
I wish I could say that I am that person that has enough faith to do it on my own. But, I have times where, like, it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so hard to keep, you know, my heart and mind in the set of, I need you to do this, because there are times where I do pick it back up, and I'm like, I got this, I can do it.
Yeah.
But no, so it's hard, because, again, I'm the personality and the type of person where I do want to do it, because it gives me security.
Right.
But I'm not called to do it on my own. We're called to rely on him, and it's hard, it's really hard sometimes.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing for maybe, like, new believers or people who aren't in the faith, just like knowing it's not all like rainbows and butterflies and like I'm gonna rely on God for everything and it's just super easy. Like, no, there's times where I'm like, even through like the everyday stuff, I don't think to consult him. I don't think to ask for what he wants, you know, on just the small basic things. I'm like, let me come to you for the big things,
Yeah.
you know? And so like that's definitely.
I think the key to that, like, I'm not saying I have it figured out or that I've perfected it, but I think too, like, the key to it is like sustainability
Yeah.
and like grounding your heart in sustainability and grounding your heart in truth and what you
Yeah.
know the word says about that. Does that make
Right.
sense?
Yeah.
And that's hard. And
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten better about that through this
Yeah.
journey. Like, I'm nowhere
Definitely.
near as bad as
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah.
But I do feel like my feet are a little bit more rooted and grounded in truth and in
Yeah.
knowing that he can handle even the smallest of
Right.
things
Yeah.
and even the biggest of things when I need him to. And I feel like that's grown our relationship too. Like,
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
grown our prayer a lot because I literally pray to him about everything, whether
Yeah.
it's the shirt I'm gonna wear. I mean, that sounds so silly, but like that was how I got into the habit of taking
Yeah,
things to
that's
him.
good.
Like, I had to, if it meant praying about what color curtains to pick out or what
Yeah.
fingernail polish to pick out, like, I am serious. Like,
Yeah.
it sounds silly, but if that's what I had to do to get there in that
Yeah.
my walk, then that was what I did.
Right,
And so
right.
that taught me, you know, to start taking things to him
Yeah.
and being okay with whatever his answer is, because
Yes.
sometimes even that was hard for me. Like, he would
Right.
respond, and it wouldn't be what
Right.
I want him to respond, and I would have to
Yeah.
still be okay
Yeah.
and submit to that. And
Yeah.
so,
Right. And even like you said, you know, if I was to take everything to him, even the smallest things, it's I can't just be like, yeah, I prayed about this or whatever, and then just, oh, well, he didn't give me the answer I want, so let's just ignore it. Like, it's taking it to him and then being okay with what he gives us.
right. I look back at how I look back at everything he did for Alex and his healing and the miracles, because that's what it was. It was an absolute miracle.
Yeah.
And like I'm talking like one of the miracles that you hear about in church. Like, that I've been
Yeah.
in church my whole life. I've heard about people talking about the miracles of God, and you read the Bible and you see the
Right.
miracles of God, but like, the Lord performed a miracle in Alex's life. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
And I look back and I look at all of those times where I was weak, and I look back at all those
Yeah.
times that my faith had failed. I even look back at all the times where I was strong and I
Right.
felt grounded. And I look back and I see that even in all those times where it wasn't going the way that I wanted it to, like, the Lord was still working it out.
Yeah.
And like, the Lord knew at the end of the day what the end result was going to be.
Yeah.
And so I was just exhausting myself not trusting that. And
Yeah,
so
that's true.
taking those little things too, and like trusting that he's got it worked out,
Yeah.
like, I am able to do a little bit better now. And
Yeah.
that's hard,
Yeah.
but I don't know, like, I feel like that whole part of all of that whole process, there's a lot I learned, but one of the biggest things that changed my life and my relationship with the Lord was being
Yeah.
able to give control and trust him and not be devastated when it didn't go the way I wanted it to be.
Right.
Because I look back and see in the end, it was perfect.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done it any other way. I
Yeah.
couldn't have prayed for it to have ended any other way
Right.
too,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I like how you said that you're just exhausting yourself because you weren't trusting in that. Like, that's
Yeah.
really good.
Yeah.
I'm super thankful for you sharing this.
I'm so glad for the opportunity
Yeah.
too. I feel like that was one of the biggest things that I think we prayed as a family. It was like, you know, that the Lord would take what we've been through and use it and be
Yeah.
able to let it be something that people could look in and see who he is.
Yes,
And
definitely.
I feel like too, we all feel a little bit deeper for people when we see people who are sick. And you know, when people say, "Well, I'm praying about this," like, but we as a family now really understand the power of
Yeah,
prayer and
definitely.
want to, you know, just continue to pursue the Lord and take this time that we've been through as a family and for Alex and use it and just be an encouragement to other people and not just lightly say, "Oh, I'm gonna pray," but really take the
Real,
time and
yeah,
like dig
that's
in for
good.
other people and battle for them when they're going through
Yeah.
their warfare too, so.
Yeah, that's good. Well, only almost cried one time. Okay. Sorry, you know, these, like, I'm a crier too.
I'm such a crier because I knew if you were going to start busting out crying, I would probably, like.
Like, writing these questions down, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be so emotional. And, like, but, yeah, thank you so much. So, I have two questions that I just like to ask everyone to see what they're doing and everything. So, what's your favorite thing you're doing right now?
Okay, so I planted a garden this summer. And I've never done it, so I'm, like, just now starting to get my first fruits off of everything. Yeah. So, it's been fun. I've enjoyed doing a little vegetable herb garden.
Yeah. So. I've, like, always wanted to do that, but I know I could not. Like, I forget to drink water myself sometimes.
But honestly, it's been, like, holy process, right? Yeah, like, it's been such a spiritual journey. Like, even that, like, the Lord's just spoken to me, like, through a lot of the stuff. So, it's been interesting. It's been fun.
Yeah, that's fun. So, what is something you try and do every day?
Okay. Recently, something I've been trying to do every day, and it sounds silly, but, see, like, when I go to bed at night, I have been really being intentional about putting a worship song on while I'm laying in bed and just surrendering my day back to the Lord.
Right.
Like, I don't mean to sound like all spiritual, because I'm totally not. But, like, it just for me was something I felt like the Lord was asking me to do.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I'm the person that, like, needs that control.
Yeah.
So, like, for me to take my day and literally, like, just give it to the Lord, like, then when I get up the next morning, like, my mind and my heart is already centered and postured to surrender that day to him too and walk through it yielded. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really good. Well, I've definitely gotten so much out of this, and I know so many people will. So thank you so much for this.
Thanks so much, girl.